what some people call urban sprawl got started as the federal government's answer to a severe housing shortage. There wasn't a lot of building going on during the Great Depression. At the end of World War II, returning GIs needed houses. Reynolds Farley is a research professor at the University of Michigan's Population Studies Center. Farley says the federal government offered veterans low-interest loans, and developers started building modest homes on green lawns on the edges of cities. But because of discrimination, the loans didn't as often make it into the hands of African-American veterans. Instead of segregated neighborhoods in the city, segregation lines were newly drawn between city and suburb.
Very low-cost mortgages accelerated the movement of whites from the central city out to the suburbs, built upon the long racial animosity that characterized cities beginning at the time of the First World War and continuing perhaps up to the present.
With segregation, there was a shift of wealth. Farley says jobs and purchasing power were exported to the suburbs with the help of the interstate highway system, and big new shopping centers displaced retail in downtowns. People with low incomes, often people of color, were left behind in cities of abandoned houses and vacant storefronts that often didn't have enough tax base to maintain roads and services. John Powell is a professor at Ohio State University. He's written extensively on urban sprawl and its effects on urban centers.
So we move jobs away, we move tax base away, we move schools away, and then the city becomes really desperate and they're trying to fix the problem, but all the resources have been moved away.
With no way found to fix the cities, whites have been moving out of the cities to the suburbs for decades. And now middle-class blacks are moving out too. For some metropolitan areas, leaving the city has become a matter of income. Although Powell says even then, African Americans have a more difficult time finding a way out.
Race never drops out of the equation. And the reality is even middle-class blacks don't have the same mobility to move to opportunity that even working-class whites do because of the way race works in our society.
So segregation continues, but now the line is drawn between middle-class blacks in the older inner-ring suburbs, whites in the outer-ring suburbs, and for the most part in cities such as Detroit, poorer blacks left behind in the central city. Smart growth advocates say part of the answer to urban sprawl is finding a way to get more money back into the central cities to make them more attractive to everyone. That's worked in cities such as Portland, Oregon, and Minneapolis-St. Paul. But those cities and their suburbs are predominantly white. For northern cities with greater racial divides, cities such as Cleveland, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Detroit, it's different. A lot of white suburbanites don't want tax dollars going to blacks in the city. And African Americans in the city don't see urban sprawl as their issue. So ideas such as tax revenue sharing for a metropolitan region are not a priority. The issue of regional tax equity that works in predominantly white regions becomes muddied by racial animosity in segregated regions. Buzz Thomas is a state senator in Michigan who's taken on the issue of urban sprawl and its counterpart, the deterioration of city centers. Senator Thomas says if state legislatures can't find answers to help cities, sprawl in the suburbs will continue, paving over green space and farmland.
You know, poverty and jobs and health and access to health care and access to quality education are very realistic issues for cities like Detroit. But a reality is they go hand in hand with sprawl. As your black middle class moves out of the inner city because they're not satisfied with the resolution to those issues. I mean, that they, you know, it links sprawl.
Senator Thomas says legislators from rural areas and from urban areas are beginning to realize they have a common issue. But before they can get to discussions of regional tax equity, they first have to talk about the more difficult issue of race.
And have a discussion that might make me uncomfortable, that might make those that I discuss it with uncomfortable. Only then, I think, can we really adequately figure out how long it's going to take us to resolve that issue.
In the meantime, many cities are still losing population and revenue. Suburbs continue to sprawl, and farms are becoming subdivisions, retail strip malls, and fast food restaurants. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.